This is really good. I appreciate those comments, because here we go. Remember why resurrection is very important. The fierce enemy, the most horrible enemy, was death. Scripture speaks of it this way. He is the king of the terror. Death have take hold of man as a result of sin. The work of Christ is so great, not only that he died for our sins, he took care of that, but the wages of sin, which was death. Now, death has a hold on every man. And here is Christ. Imagine that. Death will, it doesn't matter how mighty you are. You could be as strong as Samson. You could be as rich as Solomon. You could be as wise as Solomon. And yet, death, you cannot go around death. But in that day, the Lord Jesus walked into the domain of death, and he robbed from his hand his power. Now, I think this is the first time in the history of death that he was afraid. Man is always afraid of death, but that day, death was afraid of the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus walked into the domain of death and took his power, took his sting out of his hand. Death has no power anymore. So Satan was very upset. So he started walking around telling people, there is no resurrection. And I like that analogy that you made. So now, here is the accuser standing up and he's saying, no resurrection. And some people believed him. The Spirit of God uses the Apostle Paul to stand up as a defense attorney and bring evidence. So the first set of evidence that he brings are the Corinthians. He's saying, that's how you got saved. Jesus died for your sins, and he rose for your justification. If resurrection is not true, you are not saved. Corinthians, are you saved? Yes, then resurrection must be true. That's another set. But let me bring another one. Let me appeal to the scripture. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That's verse 4. So the first thing about the reality of resurrection, that they are saved. That's proof of the resurrection. The second proof is the scripture. He died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. That's a very important component. And he rose again according to the scripture. The scripture speaks of his resurrection. The scripture speaks of his death. Genesis 3, Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Psalm 102, Isaiah 53, the book of Lamentation. And you could go on. They spoke of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But not only he appealed to resurrection, he said, do you want witnesses? Let me bring you some of them. How about Cephas? He stood up on the day of Pentecost. He's well known. You guys know him. How about the disciples? I could bring you those too. But you know what? Here is something that is really amazing. 500 people. Now, talking about delusion or hallucination, 500 people in one shot saw the Lord Jesus and talked with him. I mean, what more evidence do you want than that? And that is the whole idea of 3 hours, 3 days. We talked about the full witness. Here it is. There are not only now three. I'm bringing you 500 plus one. That's 501 plus 12. That's 513, right? He said he appeared to Cephas, to the 12, and then 500. So that's 513 witnesses. And by the way, there are more than that. But just in case, I could bring credible witness to the courtroom and prove the resurrection of Christ. John, you had something there.
Well, I was going to go through some of that as well. But I just want us to see the difference from what we're reading in 1 Corinthians and what we have in the Gospels, what we had in Matthew. Matthew, we had the facts. Here, now, in Corinthians, the apostle is writing to Christians. And there's a problem here. Why does he have to address this subject that we just talked about and saw the importance? We saw the reality of it from the facts and the gospel. But now, in this epistle, as he's writing to them, there's a problem. You see, Satan, as we mentioned, he was defeated on that resurrection morning. And so what is Satan now doing? Oh, he wants to stir up that seed of doubt in the mind of the believer. At what detail? The place he was defeated, the resurrection. So now he's coming in and he's stirring them up and saying, well, what about this resurrection? Is there really a resurrection? And so all there's this seed of doubt. And it's going now to this intellectual way of thinking. Okay? I'm going to reason in my mind. How can this possibly be? And all of a sudden, in our finite minds, as intelligent as we may think we are, and try to reason this out intellectually to try to understand it, what are we doing? And I'll give you an example. We use this word foundation. It's in our outline there. The very foundation of our faith, of Christianity, is here. You know, I have a customer right now, and he's built a house, and the people are living in the house. And you know what's happening? The foundation wall is literally caving in. Okay, and the brick is falling off the side of the house. Okay, that's what's happening here, right? Satan is coming in, and we're actually, by allowing ourselves to try to rationalize this out in our finite minds, we're eroding the foundation that we're standing on. Okay, and so that's why he comes and he says, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. Okay? That is where the truth is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to the scriptures. And so that's the foundation, and that he's bringing them all the way back to this gospel that you first believed. He has to bring them back to the beginning. If they're going to start to try to reason this out in their mind, say, no. It's according to the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Can you get to a mic?
Just like what Brother John was saying, because we talked a little bit about how Satan's trying to shake things up and really shake our faith in the Lord and his resurrection, but once we start looking in the Word, there's just an abundance of reassurance. The Bible speaks so clearly, so firmly, and every time it brings up the resurrection, there's no doubt that the Lord indeed was raised. And just want to bring a few verses from Hebrews, which really speaks of the majesty of the Lord Jesus. Not only from the very first couple verses, it speaks of how the Lord is now sitting on the majesty on high. And after having finished a work, after having purged our sins. And just moving into chapter 6, or 7 actually, speaks of God's perspective of who the Lord Jesus is and how, you know, we don't need to worry about how Satan's trying to attack us. If we stay firm to the word and look to just dig deep into the word, we're gonna know for sure that the Lord was indeed raised from the dead. And he speaks of the Lord Jesus as a high priest. Others were ordained high priests under the law as just simply man, but chapter 7, verse 16 says he was made a high priest after the power of an endless life, or an indissoluble life, it says in the side. And then you go on, verse 24, he continues forever. Verse 25, he liveth forever. You go back to Romans, it says, after he was raised, he dies no more. There is, he's done a work, he's done it once, and he'll never die again. And directly tied to that in Romans is our assurance of our faith and our salvation. Again, it says, we know that we have died with Christ. We also believe that we will live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and that he liveth unto God.